the Lord should be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, and the 10th verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Chapter 41, the book of Isaiah, and the 10th verse. This is a wonderful word for sinners born again to contemplate, and every sinner born again has a living interest therein. But you want that interest made known by He who is the author of the Word of God. Preachers may take such a word for a text to preach a sermon upon it as grace is given, but you want in your soul's experience, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Some of you who are born again and yet hardly know that you are, not possessing such clear-cut evidence as yet as you will do as you journey on, and God blesses you and helps you to participate in the favor that He does bear to His people. And now you, such a character, would look upon a word like this and feel, if I could only be sure I had an interest in it, I know that all indeed will be well with me as I journey on. But you want God to make it plain that you are the character, and that such a word is indeed addressed to you. And now, it is good that you should be exercised like that, and such an exercise does not proceed from what you are by nature. No. What you are by grace alone can be the subject of such an exercise. And Jesus Christ declares that you are already blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, to look at this subject from three or four viewpoints of it, going through the text, as it were, in the sections of it. But the setting of the subject is very instructive, and it is often desirable to look at the picture as it is framed in the Word of God itself. And you find the heading of the page is, God's Church is Exhorted to Trust in Him. And now, not to take up too much time in looking at the setting of the subject, you will find that Isaiah, over 100 years before it happened, is speaking, inspired of God to record what is written here, speaking about the return of the children of Israel from Babylonish captivity, and that God would raise up one in righteousness from the east, who was Cyrus, ordained of God to be a deliverer, and that he would level the mountains and overcome all difficulties and overthrow kingdoms and then would find it in his heart to proclaim to the Israel of God that they were welcome to return to the land of promise. And you find references to it. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. This is the provision that God made in the long trek that it was from Babylonish captivity to be found again in the land of promise. And that provision was indeed made in the fullness of time. And there is also a challenge which God issues to all the little g gods of silver and gold and wood and stone and whatever else they might be made of, to show what they can do to prove that they are gods. And he reduces them to nothing and declares that their images are just wind and confusion and no help whatever to them that put their trust therein. And that brings us back to the heading, God's church is exhorted to trust in him. And now, when you think of what the word of God says, the just shall live by faith. And now, what does faith do? What is its characteristic, its work? I nearly said I will. Its function. What is it but to do this? Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And now whatever your difficulties may be, or your duties, or life's responsibilities, or the complications that may arise in your circumstances, here is a word to encourage you at all times. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. You are not to judge whether I am with thee by what you feel about it. I am with thee. The dear Saviour said to his disciples, and that includes all disciples from that day to this, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Oh, dear friends, how much there is nowadays. If you look around the world at large, look around the land that you and I live in, that causes us dismay as we view it. And if you look within at what you are by nature, as every day you journey on, and more it seems to be opened up to you, so that you have to realize from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. You are dismayed. But is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Blessed be God, there is balm. There is a physician, and his skill is infallible, and he delighteth in doing poor sinners good. Jesus is the wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. Through him sinners find remission and enjoy sweet peace of mind. And now, in looking in the context, you find The needs be, for this fear thou not. There are two or three fear nots in the chapter where the text is found. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. You just read that, and you might read it cursorily, but it would do you good if you paused before God and pondered what an amazing declaration it is. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And now that should allay whatever your fears may be. And then it goes on. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men, few men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And so the character then interested in this fear thou not in our text is said to be worm Jacob. The Holy Spirit condescends to use varied illustrations to impress the truth on those who desire to have a gracious understanding of it. And while this refers to Israel as they were, as a nation, God refers to them as worm Jacob and ye few men of Israel. The suggestion is that as a worm is a creature that is weak, creeping, lowly, often trodden on, although you never should do it. If you see a worm, you should move it, not tread on it. I remember at school, we were taught, I would not place upon my list of friends, though graced with polished manners and fine sense, yet wanting sympathy, the man that needlessly sets foot upon a worm. And God has much to say about this worm Jacob, his dear people Israel, and they are just likened to a worm to bring home to them their helplessness, as I have said, and weakness, and their lowliness. And yet there is one thing about a worm that has always been very pleasing to me in the contemplation of it. I am sure that you would find, if it could be worked out in proportion, that a worm is one of the strongest creatures found on the earth as regards the strength of its mouth. You double dig and bring up the heavy clay and see it begin to break, and the worms are there, and they have got there by the strength of their mouth which God has given to them. And now, I've not just told you that it's a piece that is interesting to listen to, for you know it, at least you should do. What is the strength of worm Jacob? Faith in Jesus can repel the darts of sin and death. Faith gives victory over hell. Who can give us faith? Worm Jacob is said here to be able to thresh mountains and beat them small and to make the hills as chaff. It just means what you sing about. And what, if you are to go to heaven, you must reduce to practice. Wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits, Prayer can force a passage to iron bars and brazen gates. Worm Jacob's strength is in his mouth. It is, behold, he prayeth. Yes. And the God of heaven declares, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Oh, if you and I could only have more of the spirit of prayer and the grace of supplication, we should soon have a gracious revival in our midst. We should soon see better days in the Church of Christ all around, for that is the remedy. Yes, and the alone remedy. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, to possess your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, so that this new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, it says in the margin, having a mouth. But it was really how the corn was threshed, as to the illustration used by the Spirit of God, how the corn was threshed in Isaiah's days, when it was heaped up together and the oxen went round with a heavy sledge, and underneath there were sharp flints that cut the straw to pieces, and then it was flung up in the air with a wooden shovel, as you read, thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. But the corn fell in a heap on the threshing floor, while the chaff was blown to the winds. And now let us look at this great subject then. Fear thou not. What do you fear as you are here before God? You are here in the attitude of worship. Many of you have worshipped God aright for many, many years. Some of you, dear young people, by the grace of God, are beginning to do so. But as you come up to worship God, you may have some specific concern in your soul's feelings wherein you need divine aid. And you may have a fear in connection with it. And you need a fear not. And you need God to say, fear thou not. Not just the whole congregation, but to come to you, not collectively, but individually. Fear thou not. Do remember this. Christ has blessings to impart. Grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tears. And now, I say, what is your fear? It may be, you fear as yet whether you do belong to these people who have God to be their God, with whom it is well living and dying. Well, if that is your fear, surely you felt ever so glad to sing the opening hymn. Surely, when you sang the concluding verse, your heart went with what you sang about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth did speak, and you said, amen, amen. Give me, O Lord, a place within thy blessed abode, among the children of thy grace, the servants of my God. It is only what David said long, long before. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me, poor, hell-deserving, miserable, undeserving me, with thy salvation. You want this fear thou not lodged to assure you that you do belong unto God and to the people of his choice. The Lord bless you. Fear thou not. Whene'er to call the Saviour mine, my soul with ardent wish aspires. Can it be less than power divine which animates these strong desires? The Word of God is very searching and solemn, and if you're helped to come to the light regarding it, you will find there is more help in God for you than you realize. And now what I mean is this. The Word of God says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And now what you feel in your soul's concern to be numbered with the people of God in time and eternity too is not what the flesh has suggested. No. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. It is because God has given to you a new heart, a new spirit, a new nature, and therefore you have got an aching void within which the world cannot fill, and you can say, I hunger now for heavenly food, and my poor soul cries out for God. Yes, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And now, think how you came along, and think what you asked God to do for you as you came along or before. And you ask God that he would be pleased to do something, that in the worship of his holy majesty you might get some help by the way, and that you might indeed participate in the favor that he bears unto his people. And now that was the new nature in you and the new heart. You can only have such feelings, yes, and such fears in a new heart, a new nature. You will not find a man in the street, a worldling, who has got any fears whatever as to whether he is the subject of some religion that God is the author of. He knows no such fears. No. You must be born again to realize these things and be the subject of them, as fire ascending seeks the sun. Fear thou not. You may say, oh, I have been following on to know the Lord quite a while now, and I hope I have got some help, some tokens, some evidences that I treasure up, some things that I look back upon, wherein I desire to thank God and take courage, but as yet, I do not know the unutterable sweets of forgiveness of sins. And now forgiveness of sins, indeed, in the experience of it, is unutterable sweets. It is indeed, as those who have had the pleasure and privilege to realize it can tell, it is the most wonderful event that can come into your life when you can appear, as it were, before Calvary's cross and behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, and realize to your soul's joy that when he died thereon, he died for you. When you get that wonderful feeling, oh my Jesus, thou art mine, with all thy grace and power, I am now and shall be thine when time shall be no more. You say, I wish I could have such a blessed experience. It is attainable. And who can tell but what God will be gracious unto you? And what does this word say? Fear thou not regarding it. Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy eternal, mercy cries. Fear thou not. Through this man there is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. And every sinner born again receives it sooner or later. It may be, I say this with great reverence, it may be the great majority receive it later. Some not until they come down to die, but none will ever miss it. Remember that. He which hath begun the good work in you will finish it. Margin reading. And that finish must inevitably be that one in whom the good work is begun will rejoice in the forgiveness of sins and at length come into that word, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty and see in him all thy salvation and all thy desire. Fear thou not. And now, you might have a fear, especially if you are young, in the way. It may be you see that life's journey is still ahead of you as to its afternoon and evening time. And you see what the world is with all its chaos and confusion. And you desire to live unto God. But you are conscious of what you are by nature. And when you look at those things which are against you, the world opposing from without, and unbelief within, an attempting devil ever on the stretch to undo you, as any opportunity is afforded to bring it about, you have many fears. And you remember the scripture, the Saviour let fall, and he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And you have a fear, oh, shall I endure? And God has taught you already what it is good to learn, and never to forget the learning of it. Myself I cannot say, myself I cannot keep, but strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. You see, how are you to endure to the end? You have got to learn, as I have told you so many times lately, to live a day at a time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it means every moment be receiving strength, and yet be always weak. And Joseph Hart will help us and help you to understand this viewpoint of the subject about enduring. Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst condition known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down. Fear thou not. And now, you may have a fear. You do humbly hope you are indeed a seeking soul. You're following on to know the Lord. You have got comfort regarding that. But then you think about some viewpoints of truth. You think about the truth of electing love. And the devil may suggest to you, and how do you know that you belong to God's elect? And sometimes when you are cast down and your evidences seem beclouded, you wonder if you do belong to God's elect. And you wonder too how you may be sure that you do. Oh, but there is a way to be sure. Whatever the word of God records can be brought about and fulfilled in our soul's experience. And here is a word. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Keep that word sure uppermost in your thoughts, in your approaches unto God. For you and I do want something in our soul's experience that is sure. And now, how is your election to be made sure? When on the bough rich fruit we see, 'tis then we cry a goodly tree is one viewpoint. You must not think that it is possible for you to be taken up above the skies to behold your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life and thus be made sure. No, no. How are you to be made sure? When you look into the Word of God and discern the characters whom God has declared to be the characters of His people, when you can look at this character or that and find, as in water, face answers unto face, so does the heart of man to man, that will help you to be sure that you do belong to God's elect and that you are numbered with His dear people, whatever your fears or faintings may be. Here is a word, as the Bible is open before me, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And then it says in this same book of Isaiah, ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see, dear friends, it does not say, ho, every one of you who is sure that you belong to God's elect. Nor does it read like this, ho, every one of you who has dwelt at Sinai's mount under the law at least for 6 months or 12. No, no. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the water. That is what the Word of God declares. And what did the Savior say in sweet confirmation of it? If any man thirst, he may fear whether he belongs to my elect. But if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This is the way, dear friends. Walk ye in it. Thus you will have come into your soul's experience. Fear thou not. I like that word of the Saviour to Nicodemus. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And you and I must have some religion wrought in God to stand the test of time and eternity too. But then, that is what you are doing in your worship as you gather together before God. It is your desire to come to the light. What have you said in your petition sometimes? Blessed Spirit of Christ, descend on us thus. Thy servant assist, teach him to teach us. You come to the light. You want matters right between your soul and God. And this fear not belongs to you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You say, oh, if I could only believe it. Regarding my own soul's experience, how glad I should be. What are you to do? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And now leaving these fears, and they are indeed, as it were, numberless. There are 60-odd fear nots in the Word of God, and there must be 60-odd needs be for a fear not, and many more, as you journey on through life. And you need a thus saith the Lord to enable that fear thou not to allay all your fears. But this is the Word of the Lord. fear thou not. And now it comes to this viewpoint of the subject, for I am with thee. The presence of God. And oh, how desirable that is. There are some scriptures you look at, and maybe you do with longing eyes. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think of Moses, that dear man of God, when he was instituted as Israel's leader. If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. And what do you sing sometimes? And you know some of you sing it feelingly. You are glad when the hymn is given out to be sung. Not all the good earth can afford is equal to thy presence, Lord, our fainting hearts to cheer. Abide with us, Lord, with us dwell. Then come what will, it shall be well. 'Tis well if thou art near. You see? Oh, but do you see it? I said, you see. And you think whether you do see it. God designs that you shall live a life of faith in dependence upon him day by day. Hence you read in Solomon's song, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? And leaning moves along. And that is how the presence of God is often known and felt by his people in life's pilgrimage. It does not mean that you are always full of happiness in the possession of it. Sometimes you have a fear as to whether the Lord is with you in the complications which arise as you journey on through life. And yet underneath it all, this word remains a reality. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. You see, dear friends, sometimes it is learned like this, though dark be my way, since he is my guide, 'tis mine to obey, and his to provide. Oh, dear friends, that word obey. You and I, pastor and people, all of us who hope in God, must all plead guilty here. This question of obeying. You need much grace to obey. If God should say, this is the way, walk ye in it. There is that inside you that will question it and wonder if it could be altered a little, rearranged. Yes, but when you feel like that, it is always that it might be eased for the flesh. Remember that. Not the spirit. No. The spirit within you, what you are by the grace of God, will say, choose thou the way, and still lead on. Now leave me till I say, Father, thy will be done. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. How may you know the presence of God is with you? And oh, that you might be helped to weigh matters up before God, with whom you have to do. And now, one sign, which is a very desirable sign, the presence of God is wonderfully, I nearly said, awfully, A-W-E, awfully solemnizing. And it helps you to feel that you are just a poor sinner with a never-dying soul, a creature of clay, and when you come to have to do with God then, you feel like Abraham, behold, I have taken upon myself to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Oh, the presence of God is awfully solemnizing, and it can make any place where the presence of God is known and felt to be the gate of heaven, the house of God. Yes, it is what you should be looking for every time you come up to worship. Without the presence of God, worship is cold and formal, and poor sinners get no good for their souls. But when the presence of God is realized, then there is that sweet feeling, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Solemnizing. Yes. And the presence of God is not only a solemnizing principle, it is a very separating one. Oh, you know, in your, I'm not fitting any caps on, in your ordinary, everyday life as you live it, there may be some things that you do which you think are lawful to do, but if you should arise in the morn and you have got quietness within, realization that the presence of God is with you in the way that you go, you will not want to lose that sweet feeling. And you will find you are on the alert not to have anything to do with anything whatever that might rob you of it. Whereas if you arose in the morn without that feeling, you might dabble with this and that, with television and the radio and things like that. But you'll not be turning on television or the radio if you have got the presence of God known and felt in your soul. You will want to rejoice in it and hope that you may retain the sweet, blessed experience as long as God shall communicate it to you. Yes, the presence of God, it is a beautiful, a blessed experience. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. You see, sometimes you wonder if it can be that God, whom you think carries on all the vast business of the universe, his eye runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to behold not only what the wicked are doing and to undo it and overturn it, but he beholds every one of his people. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and them that hope in his mercy, to preserve them from death and keep them alive in time of famine. And his eye is upon each one individually, so that he says, when need arises, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Yes. Another sign of the presence of God being with you, not only in its separating influence, but you feel then the presence of God to be a sanctifying influence. And the hymn writer says this, and that is just how you will feel. May I be always thus devout, be this religion mine. You say, oh, if I could only live like this to the end of my days, and then be gathered where God is and dwell forever in his love. That is how you feel. You want to be set apart for God, and you feel this prayer and this ambition mine, living and dying to be thine. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And now, another sign that the presence of God is with you, you will find coming into your heart a sweet, gracious, holy, humbling under the mighty hand of God in his dealings, and you will not question them. You will say, it is the Lord enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. You will say, I have said it once or twice, I hope, Thou art our potter, and we're the clay. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou hast in faithfulness afflicted me. Thus you see the sweet, sanctifying influence of the presence of God. And it means this, that for the time, while you have that sweet experience, in the enjoyment of it, the things of God will be wonderfully attracted to you. Will you be looking through the newspaper, turning it over page after page, or looking at the television or the radio? No. No. You will want to get aside in quietness before God. You will want to look into the Word of God. Turn over the sacred pages, and you will be helped to do it then. And you will say, I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You find when the presence of God is with you, the things of God are uppermost, and they are to you meat and drink for your soul. And you can say, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, that this may be our uppermost concern, journeying on through life, to feel the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.